And turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and have your bulletin open to the unifold. We're going to be looking at the subject of love today. 've been doing a series on our home, and the title of this morning's message is Love. Let's ask God's help. Lord, I pray that we would know how to give love, that those around about us would be loved and feel loved. And Lord, I pray that there be a richness in our homes because of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that his presence would be transforming for all of us. Thank you for having loved us first. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the simplest and profoundest statements any man or woman can make is, I love you. If a mother reads that on a Mother's Day card from a child, she may well understand it differently from exactly the same words written by a husband on a similar card. We understand the word love by its context and by the way it is said. Other cultures and other languages have used different words for the different kinds of love. But in English, we call devotion love. We call affection love. We call romance love. We call lust love. And we call liking love. But even when more specific words are used for love, there is an overlap and several loves may be present at exactly the same time. For example, if I say I love God, surely I mean that I like him. Surely I mean that I feel that I am devoted to him. And surely I feel a warm affection for him. Well, every one of us wants to be loved. Every woman wants to be loved. Every mother wants to be loved by a family. Yes, we all want love, and we know the kind of love that we want from the different people in our lives, but giving love is altogether a tougher assignment than receiving love. Is it true that real love just happens? Why is it so hard to love consistently, even the ones we love, we sometimes hurt? Well, we need a handle on love and expressing love, don't we? If we all long for love, we must know also how to give love. Well, if there is one thing that the Bible majors on, it's the subject of love. Love for God and love for each other. And in fact, the Bible describes five aspects of love to live for a deep and sweet marriage. The first three aspects of love can be between all people. The last two, which we won't be dealing with today, are specifically for the husband-wife relationship. The first aspect of love to live for a full and satisfying life and a sweet marriage is described by the Greek word agape. This is agape love. A-G-A-P-E, if you're filling in your sheet. Agape love. We could describe agape love as committed love, sacrificial love, or devotion. Agape, of all the forms of love, is totally selfless. Agape love is unconcerned with what's in this for me. Agape love is a covenant, it is a promise-keeping love. The closest Old Testament word is chesed. When chesed is used of God loving us, it is usually translated in our Bibles, loving kindness, or in other translations of the scripture, steadfast love, unfailing love, or great love. It's hardly one English word to describe the qualities of that love. When chesed is used of men's love for each other, between us, usually the word kindness or mercy is used. It is this love we are to have for God, and it is this love that we are to have for each other as of the utmost importance. We may have other kinds of love too, but we must have this as of the utmost importance. When Mark chapter 12 and verse 29 uses the word love, it is talking about this agape love or this chesed love. It says in verse 29, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love," that's agape love, "you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, you shall love," that again, that is agape love, "your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." We are to love God with all devotion and sacrifice and commitment. And we are to love others in the same way. A selfless kind of love. Now, this kind of love is a choice. Agape love to God and others requires a dedication. It requires an act of the will. It is a duty, in a sense, or if love can ever be a duty, it is a duty we must. Sacrificial love for God and men is compulsory, according to the Word of God. We must. Agape love is not the whole. It is not the sum of all the loves in any of our human relationships, but it is the foundation, it is the basis of any real love in relationships. Notice the commitment and selflessness and kindness in that agape or chesed love in the best known description of love anywhere, and that is 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4. This is the kind of love we're talking about. 1:13 and verse 4 says, "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails." And we'll stop there. First, agape love, or if you want to use the Old Testament word, chesed love, is kind. First, love is kind. If it is unkind, it is not love. Second, it is not interested in self. Agape love is not about self at all, and therefore there will not be envy. There will not be showing off. There will not be pride or seeking its own. Chesed, agape love, is interested in the object of the love. It's not interested in self. It's interested in the loved object, and therefore it cannot be rude. And it cannot be glad about evil or wrong in that person's life, because it knows that is going to damage them. Third, agape love does not give up. It does not abate. It does not decline. It does not fail, because it is an act of the will, independent of feelings. This love is the basis of our relationship with God and with people, and we must and must be part of our lives, whether we're a mother or not. But because it is the basis of all relationships, Paul emphasizes that this love must be particularly present in the husband-wife relationship. And the one primarily responsible to give it is the husband. Four times, Paul says, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25 is the first time, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." Verse 28, "So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself." Verse 33, "Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." And then in Colossians 3:19, "Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them." Four times, and every time it is this Greek word agape that is used of the love that a husband should have for his wife. A kind, a committed, a selfless love. A husband must love like this, and must love like this always. It is commanded. no matter whether the wife deserves it or not. After all, God has loved each one of us with this kind of love, though we did not deserve it. And so we are to love others even when they don't deserve it. All of mankind, community, church, family, all are to be loved with an agape kind of love, and especially our wives, since marriage is the closest of all human relationships. A man was being counseled by a Christian doctor, and he writes, "I've really appreciated your teaching on agape love, because that is the only thing holding our marriage together. It's the only thing that is keeping us going. We talk about the kids and other people and the business, but never about anything personal. Kathy will not allow me to put my arms around her, kiss her, or touch her in any way at any time of the day. If I buy her personal gifts, she will not receive them. And if I give a compliment, she says, 'That's not true,' or 'You don't really mean that,' or some other statement that voids what I was trying to say. I want to have a whole loving relationship with Kathy, but it's like hitting my head against a brick wall. I keep asking God to help me to love her and meet her needs, even though there is no response." Well, of course, that is the agape kind of love. Now, we don't have all the details of how the couple got themselves into this kind of situation in the first place, but now, obviously, if at all this husband had been doing anything wrong, he has repented of that through counseling, he's got things right, and he is continuing to be selfless, kind, and committed in his love, though there is no response from his wife. Can he keep going like that? Yes, if he is filled with God's love, if he's drawing strength and relationship from God. This agape love is not of us. This agape love is always of God and is poured out through our lives. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5 says, "The love of God," and that's agape love, "the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." He is the source of the love. We are the channel of the love. We reflect his own love back to him. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love him because he first loved us." And again, the word is agape in Greek. We channel his love also, not only reflecting it back to him, but we channel his love to those around us, especially our families, and especially it is the responsibility of the husband to channel this love of God to his wife. Never is the wife commanded to love her husband with agape love. She must, because all people are to love each other in this way. All Christians certainly are, but it is not specifically commanded that way. Agape love serves, and Jesus explained in Mark chapter 9 and verse 35, "If anyone desires to be first," or leader, "he shall be last of all and servant of all." If you want to be leader, you serve with this agape kind of love. Men, you like the idea of being leader in your home? Well, you are to lead in sacrificial love. You are to serve your wives. This is commanded. And it's a choice whether you actually follow through. If you love, you are obeying God's command. If you fail to love, you are disobeying God's command. But this situation or that, but you say, no, there is no excuse. If you belong to him, you can continue to love anyone with this kind of love. It's your choice whether you love or not. And what applies to husbands applies to all of our relationships in the church and in the community. Be kind. Be selfless. Serve. Stay committed. And you will have that agape kind of love. The second aspect of love to live for a fulfilling life and a sweet marriage is described by the Greek word phileo. This is phileo love. That's P-H-I-L-E-O, phileo love. Phileo is not totally selfless like agape love. It is normally mutual, as in a friendship. It involves comradeship, sharing, and communication. It does expect something in return, as happens in any friendship. Agape love can go in one direction, and often needs to, as in the example we've already given. But phileo love normally goes in two directions. There is a commitment in phileo love, but it is not as unwavering as agape love. It depends on the continuation of the friendship. Phileo love is genuine and heartfelt. It is a noble love, and it is actually used of God's love for his Son, the Lord Jesus. John chapter 5 and verse 20, for the Father loves, that's phileo, the Son. The Father loves the Son. And it is also used of the Son, of God's love for men. John chapter 11 and verse 3. Therefore the sisters sent to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love. We recognize Jesus there as God in the flesh, and he loved Lazarus, didn't he? He whom you love. That's phileo love there in that verse. He whom you love is sick. So it can be used of the Father's love for the Son. It can be used of God's love for men. And it can be used of our love for God. John chapter 16 and verse 27. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me, Jesus says. You have loved me with a phileo love. Now, perhaps you know, some of you have been around church for a while, perhaps you know the difference between agape love and phileo love actually became an issue between Christ and the disciple Peter. There was no doubt that Peter loved the Lord, but when he denied the Lord, he failed in agape love. So the Lord Jesus later on had to restore Peter. And you remember the conversation, John chapter 21 and verse 15. Now, every time the word agape is used, I'm going to talk about sacrificial love. And every time the word phileo is used, I'm going to be talking about love as a friend. So follow this through, verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you sacrificially love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you as a friend. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you sacrificially love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you as a friend. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me as a friend? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me as a friend? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you as a friend. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Agape love never fails. Never. Phileo love should not fail. Peter's love for Christ was doubtful, however, at the point of his denial. He failed in agape love, but he did love his Lord with that warm affection of friendship. If I could use one word to describe agape love, it would be the word sacrificial, that cares so much about the other person that it sacrifices. And if I could use one word to describe phileo love, it would be the word friendship. A warm and sharing and positive attitude towards the other person is implied by that word phileo. Usually when we talk about wives in the husband-wife relationship, the Bible word that is used is submission. But did you know that wives are told to love their husbands? Didn't you just say someone says that it was never commanded? Well, it's a different word. Yes, they are told to love their husbands. However, it is not the agape word. It is the phileo word. Titus chapter 2 and verse 3 says, the older women are to admonish or teach the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children. Now, the word Paul uses in those words are compounds from that word phileo. He talks about philandros, which is love your husband, and philotechnos, which is love the children. the husband-wife relationship should first of all be a serving, selfless kind of relationship, that agape love. But if that's all it is, it could continue to be mere duty. The husband-wife relationship also should be a warm friendship. Agape love does things for the other. Phileo love does things with the other. Phileo love occurs when you enjoy being with the one you love. Not only is this required between husband and wife, but phileo love is required between all Christians. And the commonest compound word from phileo that we have in the New Testament is that word Philadelphia, which is brotherly love. For example, that word is used in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. And so we are commanded to love each other with a brotherly love also. Service and affection is part of the commandments to us as Christians in our love for each other. It seems obvious phileo love should be in the church, and it seems obvious that it should be in the home, but the problem with phileo love is that it can drift somewhat depending on the circumstances. Friendship includes the idea of respect. If there is no respect, then there is no longer any friendship. If all respect has been lost, there is no longer any friendship. If there is respect, there is always the potential of friendship there. Thus, Paul ends his section on the husband-wife relationship saying in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33, "Nevertheless, each one of you, in so particular, love his own wife as himself. He is commanded to love her with agape love, and let the wife see that she respects her husband, because that is part of the phileo love." And the Song of Songs, which is a celebration of marital love, includes this statement. Songs chapter 5 and verse 16. "This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem." Also, notice the respect in Songs chapter 1 and verse 3. "Because of the fragrance of your good ointments, your name is ointment poured forth. Therefore the virgins love you." There's the reputation and the respect of the one who is loved. One wife complains, "Do all marriages go stale after 25 years? Ours has. My husband and I don't seem to have much to talk about anymore. We used to talk about the kids, but now the kids have gone, we're out of conversations. I have no major complaints, but that old friendship is gone. We watch a lot of television, and we read, and we have friends, but when we're alone together, it's pretty dull. Is there any way to get back what we had?" Signed, "The song has ended." It's kind of sad to me that so many couples actually choose to do different things apart. Some say, "How can you work with your husband?" Or, "How can you work with your wife?" Nolene and I love to serve together. Let's take a friendship test. Now, if you're married, you might want to take this friendship test in regard to your spouse. But if you're single, take this test for some person on your mind, a friendship test. Can you say, "We spend time together. We have fun together. We share activities and interests. We know and like each other. We talk things over. We confide in each other. We call on each other for help. We count on each other's loyalty." Those are the elements of friendship for phileo love. In the busyness of our culture, couples actually deliberately need to do things together, not allow things to fragment them apart. Yes, husband and wives ought to be friends, and eventually parents and children ought to be good friends. You see, we are to love our children with this phileo love. Yes, there needs to obviously be respect and obedience from the children to the parents, but we also should so structure the home that we actually like each other and we like being together. That's love. Phileo love. And it's commanded for the family. It's also commanded for the church, and God will use friendships to draw people to himself, that phileo love. Of course, there can always be a trap in friendship. That friendship is there to bring glory to God. If at all the friendship is coming between us and God, then that friend might have to go. Friendships are meant to be for his glory. Love sacrificially. Love as friends. The third aspect of love, to live for a satisfying life and for a sweet marriage, is described by the Greek word storge. This is storge love. That's S-T-O-R-G-E. Storge. Now, you've probably heard of agape and phileo loves before, but you may not have heard of storge love. Well, we're going to deal with it briefly for two reasons. Number one, the New Testament deals with it briefly. And secondly, it largely overlaps with phileo love. Storge love is natural affection. Whilst phileo emphasizes the respect and the comradeship together in a friendship, storge emphasizes the feeling, the natural affection for that person. Like I said, the two, phileo and storge, are going to overlap. Storge or storgos, the word, is not used at all in the New Testament, but the opposite of storgos, astorgos, is used. And it's used first in Romans chapter 1 and verse 31, where it is listing the qualities of people who have refused belief in God. They've turned away from God, no longer believing in him. And in verse 31 it says, they are undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, circle unloving, that's the word, unforgiving, unmerciful. Now that same word is also translated in the King James Version, without natural affection. And by the NIV, heartless, no love. Similarly, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 3 lists the characteristics of those who live at the end of the age, and we may well, our society may well be those who live at the end of the age. Verse 3 says, unloving, there's our word again, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. Love means that we have a heart for people, an affection for people. We like being with people. To be without love is to be totally heartless. One author says, when the world shows itself as a cold, hard place, storge love offers emotional refuge. The marriage lacking this quality of love is like a house without a roof, where the rains can pour in. But when present, storge provides an atmosphere of security in which the other loves of marriage can safely flourish. So agape is sacrificial love, phileo is friendship, and storge is affection or liking. The storge and phileo loves are very closely related. Storge is natural, and not to have it is kind of unnatural, kind of person that has no love in them at all. Storge that thus can be part of an unsaved marriage. Agape can never be part of an unsaved marriage, but storge can be, and it's not emphasized that much in the New Testament. Nevertheless, we better not neglect it. There ought to be that natural affection in our homes too. One testimony said, on the way to our wedding, we thought we had everything going for us. Our friendship was warm, our romantic feelings even warmer, and the fires of passion, well, they just were waiting for the match. After we settled into married life, the companionship and the desire and the romantic thrills were still there. But it was a little less perfect than we had expected, because we were such imperfect people. The pink glow of romance hadn't prepared us for that imperfection. We weren't Christians then, and we didn't know that agape love could glue us together. Fortunately, something else brought us through those first rocky years when wedded bliss was almost buried in unbliss. You might call what developed between us a sense of belonging. We had decided right from the start that it was us against the world. Two people forming a majority of one. So whatever happened, or however much we clashed in private, we stuck by each other. Like a brother and sister on the playground, we might scrap with each other, but let us have someone else try and horn in, and they'd have to take both of us on. If one of us hurt, the other wiped away the tears. We made a habit of believing in each other while our careers got off the ground. We showed each other all the kindness that two impatient young people could be expected to show, and then some more. It wasn't really long until we discovered something stupendous about our relationship. We found that we had become friends. We came first with each other, and always would. Because we belonged to each other, no one could spoil our love and togetherness from the outside. Only we could do that, and we weren't about to. It was too good to lose. A lot of people, they say, spend their whole life looking for a real friend. Maybe they don't know that marriage is one of the best places to find it. We can see the elements of friendship and of natural affection in that story. And that relationship was later deepened by agape love. Part of friendship and affection is belonging, and it's a great feeling for a couple to have. It's great to have a sense of belonging also in a local church. It's great for children to have a sense of belonging that they're part of a special family. If we get agape right first in our family relationships, in all our relationships, there will flow from this friendship and affection. I guess it's helpful to think of these different kinds of love and whether they're present in our families to make sure that they're all there in their home. But if we will live caringly and if we will live selflessly in the power of Christ, then the rest is going to follow. Ladies, happy Mother's Day to you, and God bless all your homes. May the love of Christ be present in our homes. To all, may you savor God's love, and may you be able to show that agape love of God in all relationships. You can if you're His. If you're not His, you cannot have that love yet. You need to turn to Christ. Give Him your life. Turn from your sins. Thank Him for dying for you on the cross. And Christ, in the form of His Holy Spirit, will come in and infill. At that moment, you will have Christ's power. You will have His love to be able to give out to others. May God use you in people's lives. You want to be used in people's lives? Then live in love. God's love. Dear Heavenly Father, when we use a measuring stick like that, we realize that there are so many times when, like Peter, we fail. We want to come to you, Lord, and we want to say sorry. And we want, Lord, to know the height and the depth and the breadth of your love. We want you to fill us with your love, that it may be constantly and consistently there to those round about us. We want to care about them and sacrifice for them. We want to like them, enjoy them, enjoy spending time with them, and show natural affection between us. So, Lord, if there's any who needs healing, we pray that you would heal today. Lord, if there is any without Christ, I pray that they would trust you today so that they might be filled with your love. And I pray that every person in this room feels loved in their family contexts. We want that to glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray.